light the tree. There's something Christmas does to me. It weaves a charm, it casts a spell. It sheds a warmth I cannot tell. Thank God, whatever else may be, for all that Christmas does to me. Hymn 192. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo with their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say, what may the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. The Herdmans were the absolute worst kids in the history of the world. They lied, and they stole, and they smoked cigars, and they talked dirty, and they hit little kids, and they cussed their teachers, and they even set fire to old Fred Shoemaker's broken-down tool house. It was a terrific fire. Two engines and two police cars and all the volunteer firemen and 5 dozen donuts sent up from the tasty lunch diner. Yes, the donuts were supposed to be for the firemen, but by the time they got the fire out, the donuts were all gone. The Herdmans got them. What they couldn't eat, they stuffed in the pockets and down the front of their shirts. The fire chief gave us kids all a lecture about playing with matches, but it turns out, though, that the neighbors had been pestering Mr. Shoemaker for quite some time about the old tool house because it was due to fall down anyway. So that they said that the fire was a blessing in disguise. See, my father said it was the only good thing the Herdman kids ever did, and if they realized it was good, they would never have done it at all. I was always in the same grade as Imogene Herdman, and what I did was stay out of her way. You couldn't do it if you were very pretty or very smart or very ugly or had anything strange about you, but if you were a medium kid like me, you kept your mouth shut and you did okay. As far as anyone could tell, Imogene was just like the rest of the Herdmans, and she never learned anything either except dirty words and secrets about everybody. It was no good trying to get secrets on the Herdman kids. everybody already knew about those awful things they did. You couldn't even tease them about their parents or father, or yell, "Your father's in jail," because they really didn't care. Actually, they didn't know what their father was or who he was or anything about him, because when the youngest, Gladys, was only 2 years old, their father simply jumped on a railroad train and simply disappeared. Well, nobody could blame him. Mrs. Herdman worked at the shoe factory at double shifts and wasn't home very much, and so the Herdmans pretty much looked after themselves. The big ones taught the little ones everything they knew, and the proof of that was that the meanest one of all was Gladys, the youngest. See, we figured they were headed straight for hell by way of the state penitentiary until they got mixed up with the church. And my mother, and our Christmas pageant.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born upon this day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born a Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and bring your hearts before him, his mercy to embrace. For he has shown his love to us, the miracle of grace. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Days are growing short, and the nights are long, dark, and cold. We find in our heart the light of faith. It gives us courage to be able to continue on in our life. Yet, in the darkness, we can find Jesus, the light of the world, and that gives us courage to turn back to life with courage and with faith.
Let's stand and sing together 197, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old. From angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now for golden, golden hours come swiftly on a wing. Oh, rest beside the weary load and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace their King. And the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing.
When Mrs. Helen Armstrong fell and broke her leg, my mother was put in charge of our Christmas pageant. See, our Christmas pageant isn't what you'd call four-star entertainment. In fact, the only thing that ever happened that was exciting was, in fact, Mrs. Armstrong falling and breaking her leg. See, the script is standard. The inn, the stable, the stars, the shepherds. And so are the costumes, and so is the casting. Primary kids are angels, intermediate kids are shepherds, and big boys are, of course, wise men. Elmer Hopkins, the minister's son, has been Joseph for as long as I can remember. And my friend, Alice Wendelken, is Mary, in fact, because she's so smart, so neat and clean, and most of all, so holy looking. All the rest of us are the angel choir, lined up according to height, because no one can sing parts. But this year was different. My brother, Charlie, had told the Herdmans that there would be cake at the rehearsal, and suddenly... and suddenly they wanted to be in the Christmas pageant. At the first meeting, my mother started by asking for volunteers.
Now, I know many of you would like to be Mary in the Christmas pageant. But, of course, we can only have one Mary. So, I know, I'll ask for volunteers, and then we'll decide together who's going to be the part of Mary.
See, yeah. This was normally pretty safe to say, since the only person who ever raised her hand was Alice Wendelken. But Alice just sat there, staring at the floor and kind of chewing on a piece of her hair. And the only person who raised her hand was Imogene Herdman.
Imogene, do you have a question?
No. I want to be Mary, and Ralph wants to be Joseph.
Yeah.
Mother just stared at them.
You don't even know the story.
She couldn't believe this. What she didn't know was that Imogene had already bullied Alice into letting her be Mary, and Elmer Hopkins was quite frankly relieved he didn't have to be Joseph again. Last year, he tried to pay off Grady Baker with 50 whole cents, and he wouldn't even do it. Nobody volunteered to be wise men either, except Leroy, and Claude, and Ole Herdman. So there was my mother, stuck with the Christmas pageant full of Herdmans in the main roles.
Thank you. none to believe him, none but the angels were watching that morn. Dear little stranger slept in a manger, no downy pillow under his head, but with the poor he slumbered secure, the dear little babe in his bed. Angels descending, over him bending, chanting a tender and a silent refrain, then a wonderful story told of his glory unto the shepherds on Bethlehem's plain. Dear little stranger, born in a manger, no downy pillow under his head, but with the poor he slumbered secure, the dear little babe in his bed. Dear little stranger, born in a manger, maker and monarch and savior of all, I will love thee forever, grieve thee no never. Thou didst for me make thy bed in a stall. Dear little stranger, slept in a manger, no downy pillow under his head, but with the poor he slumbered secure, that dear little babe in his bed.
Some people said it wasn't fair for a whole family who didn't even belong to our church to barge in and take over our pageant. My father said somebody had better lock up the Women's Society Silver Service. And my mother just said she'd rather be in the hospital with Mrs. Armstrong. But then the flower committee took a potted poinsettia to Mrs. Armstrong and told her what was going on, and she nearly fell out of bed, traction bars and all. She said,
"If I had been up and around, this whole thing would never have happened."
And that made my mother so mad she couldn't even see straight.
If she'd been up and around, this whole thing wouldn't have happened. That woman, she must be surprised that the sun is still coming up without her out there to supervise every day. You know, Helen Armstrong is not the only woman who can run a Christmas pageant. You know, I'd made up my mind. I was going to do the best I could under the circumstances. But now, I'm going to make this the very best Christmas pageant ever, and I'm going to do it with the Herdmans. After all, they're the only ones that raise their hands. And that's that. Kids, get out here right now. We got a lot of work to do.
So Mother called the first rehearsal. And everybody quieted down right away, for fear of missing something awful the Herdmans might do. Leroy had already knuckled Charlie behind the ear, and one little girl yelled as Gladys went by. But Mother said she was going to ignore everything except
blood.
And since the little girl wasn't bleeding, and neither was Charlie, nothing happened. Even so, right away, Mother ran into trouble.
An inn's like a motel where people go to spend the night.
What people? Jesus?
See, the thing was, the Herdmans didn't know anything about Christmas. Well, they knew that Christmas was, in fact, the birthday of Jesus, but other than that, it was all news to them. The shepherds, the wise men, the stable, the star, even the crowded inn. So Mother said we'd better begin at the beginning and read the entire story from the Bible, which was quite honestly a pain in the neck, because we all knew it forwards and backwards.
Mary and Joseph, his espoused wife, being great with child.
You mean to say she was pregnant?
That's enough. That is enough.
I don't think it's very nice to say that Mary was pregnant.
But she was. And tell her what, Alice?
That your mother's doing something at the church.
And I was pretty sure she would, too, because she still wanted to be Mary. But there wasn't much I could do but pinch Alice, which I did, and she yelped. As Mother told the story, one of the herdmen would yell,
"What's that?"
whenever they didn't understand something.
You mean there wasn't any room at the inn? Not even for Jesus?
Well, now, we didn't know that the baby was going to be Jesus.
You said that Mary knew. Why didn't she tell them?
I would have told them. Boy, would I have told them. Well, what was the matter with Joseph that he didn't tell them? Her being pregnant and everything.
What's that thing they laid the baby in? The manger? Is that like a bed? Why would there be a barn and a bed?
Well, that's the point. There wasn't a bed. There wasn't a bed in the barn. And so, Mary and Joseph had to use whatever they could. Like, what would you do if you brought home... what would you do if you brought home a baby and you didn't have some place to put it?
Well, he put Gladys in a dresser drawer.
Well... You see, there you go. He didn't have a bed for Gladys, so he had to use something else. Mary and Joseph, they used the manger. It's a large wooden trough that's used to feed the animals.
What were the wadded up clothes?
The what?
You read about it. She wrapped him in wadded up clothes.
Swaddling clothes? Long ago, people used to wrap their babies in a large piece of material, very tight. It kept them cozy and comfortable.
Hey, why didn't I get to name the baby?
Because I named him.
You didn't name him, Joseph. God sent an angel to tell Mary what to call the baby.
I think I would have called him Bill. Well, what did the angel do? Just walk up to Mary and say, "Name him Jesus."
Mother was in a hurry to finish, so she simply said...
Yes.
But then... Yeah. Alice Swindlekin had to open her great big mouth.
I know what the angel said. She said to name him Wonderful, Counselor, the Prince of Peace, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father.
I could have hit her. And so it went, Mother telling the story and explaining it again to the herdmans. See, they were really interested in Herod. When my mother said that Herod planned to put the baby Jesus to death, Imogene exclaimed,
"What? He just got born and already they're out to kill him?"
See, I figured they were interested in Herod because they liked him. Mm-hmm. He was so mean, in fact, he could have been their ancestor, Herod Herdman. Mm-hmm. But I was wrong. They wanted someone to play Herod Herdman so they could beat up on him. I didn't understand the Herdmans. I couldn't understand them. You would have thought the Christmas story came right out of the RCMP files. Seriously, they got so involved in it. They wanted a bloody end to Herod. They were worried about Mary having a baby in the barn. And they even went so far as to call the wise men a bunch of dirty spies. And after she finished telling the story, then we got through... the first rehearsal. During the second rehearsal, Miss McCarthy called the fire department again because she smelled smoke in the women's washroom. It turned out just to be Imogene smoking cigars during a break in the rehearsal. But while everyone was milling about on the streets, the applesauce cake that the potluck committee ladies had been making burned up. Yeah, and when Reverend Hopkins heard about the second fire, he asked my mom if we should just call the whole thing off. He didn't think anyone would come to see the pageant. But he was wrong. Everybody came to see what awful things the Herdmans might do. You're welcome to help on the verses, but you're going to want to hear the chorus. Go tell it on the mountain. Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Give me a hand, please. While shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over shepherds feared and trembled, oh, and low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in the lowly manger, the humble Christ was born and brought us God's salvation, that blessed Christmas morn. Nice and loud, kids. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Christmas has come once more to bring us the light of hope.
And you better remember that the parents of Jesus were neither rich nor powerful nor famous, but that from the most humble beginnings that anyone could come.
Help us to remember that Jesus came to brighten the world.
The night of the pageant, there was the usual great big mess and hubbub all over the place. The baby angels were getting poked in the eyes by other baby angel wings, and grumpy shepherds were tripping over their costumes. But everything settled down, and at 7:30, the pageant began.
Oh, little
When we were finished singing O Little Town of Bethlehem, Ralph and Imogene were there. Only for once, they didn't come through the door pushing and shoving each other out of the way. They just stood there for a minute as if they weren't sure they were in the right place. Because of the spotlights, I guess, and the church being full of people, they looked like those people that you see on the 6 o'clock news, refugees in some strange and ugly place with all their boxes and sacks around them. But you know, then it suddenly occurred to me that this is what it must have been like for the first Holy Family, stuck away in a barn by people who really didn't care much about them anyway. They couldn't have been very neat and tidy either. Probably a lot like this, Mary and Joseph. Well, I didn't know why not. He was a baby. Anyway, next came Gladys from behind the angel choir, and pushing people out of the way and stepping on everyone's feet. And since Gladys was the only one in the pageant who had anything to say, she made the most of it.
Hey! A new child was born!
Then came in the wise men. I didn't know what it was, but it looked heavy. In fact, Leroy almost dropped it.
It looks like a burnt offering.
Well, they did burn things, huh? But they hadn't burnt this yet. It was a ham. And I knew right away where it came from. See, my father was on the church charitable works committee, and at Christmas I gave away food baskets and hampers, and this was the herdman's food basket ham. You see, the herdmans had never given anything away in their lives, except lumps on the head. And you had to be impressed at what was going on. And when it was time for the wise men to leave, the herdmans forgot or didn't want to or something because they didn't leave. They just sat there and there wasn't anything anyone could do about it. As a matter of fact, it made perfect sense for these wise men to just sit down and rest. They'd come a long way. As for ruining the whole thing, it seemed to me that the herdmans had improved it quite a lot, just by doing what came naturally, like burping a baby, for instance, or thinking a ham would make a better present than a lot of perfumed oil.
At this time of giving gifts, lovingly made and carefully chosen, at this time of when we share with one another that of which is deepest and dearest, light in our hearts the light of love.
Heal in our hearts the wounds of misunderstanding, mistakes and regrets. Help us reach out with joy for the gift which love, life and love offer us.
Sustain our hopes as we work together towards showing everyone the love of Jesus Christ. Grant us, each one, a wise and understanding heart.
I almost wished for the pageant to go on with the herdmans in charge to see what else they might do that's different. Maybe the wise men would tell Mary about their problems with Herod, and she would tell them to go back and lie their heads off. Or Joseph might go with them and get rid of Herod once and for all, if you know what I mean. I was so busy planning new ways to save the baby Jesus that I almost didn't notice Imogene at first. And when I did, I almost dropped my hymn book on a baby angel. Imogene Herdman was crying. In the candlelight, her face was all shiny with tears. She didn't even bother to wipe them away. She just sat there, awful old Imogene, in her crookedly veil, crying and crying and crying. I guess Christmas just came over her like a case of chills and fever, and there she was, crying. Well, it was the best Christmas pageant we ever had. Everybody said so, but nobody seemed to know why. And when it was over, people just stood around the lobby of the church talking about it. There was something special, but they couldn't put their finger on what. Now, whenever I think of the Christmas story, Mary is always going to look a lot like Imogene Herdman, sort of nervous and bewildered, but ready to clobber anyone who lays a hand on her baby. And the wise men are always going to be Leroy and his brothers bearing ham. When we came out of the church that night, it was cold and clear with crunchy snow under feet and bright, bright stars overhead. And I thought about the angel of the Lord, Gladys, with her skinny legs and her dirty sneakers sticking out from under her robe, yelling at all of us everywhere.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Mom, go down. Can you go see your mom? Okay, you can go down.
And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. To the world the Savior reigns, let men their songs employ. tears and flame. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No, no more lips and rose, there we go, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Well, I can see there's already a standing ovation, but let's give thanks to those in this place. Be seated.
Well, and I also want to thank Mandy Hecht for directing this production and putting it together. She did a great job, and we praise God for her and her ministry. Let us, I think it's very fitting for us to close in prayer. Wasn't this a tremendous Christmas pageant? It's wonderful. Very good. And I'm scared that a fire is going to start somewhere, so let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Lord, we realize afresh and anew that this is all about you. It has nothing to do with us, God. Christmas is all about surrendering. And Lord, even that first Christmas moment was all about surrender of Mary and Joseph, of shepherds and of wise men. And so, Father, we pray that as we even walk from this place today, that, Lord, we would walk focusing on who you are and the surrender of our lives. Pray this to your glory and honor in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
And as a part of this year's Advent tradition, we will close with our Advent benediction that's coming up on the screen. Take your encouragement from Christ, that your joy may be complete. You will share in the Spirit. You will find a consolation in you. Practice a ministry of humility and compassion, for God is at work within you, empowering you. We will welcome Christ into our hearts. We will live worthy of the gospel. And we will go forth in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up a smile and his countenance upon you and give you his love, his joy, and his peace. Amen. Go with God.